You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, y'all? I'm pissed off. I am pissed off. That was just an awful display of hockey by the Kings. Awful. Uninspired. No creativity. Offense is just totally shot. 13 5-on-5 goals in the last 11 games. Are you joking? It's pathetic. I mean, yeah, I'm pissed. I was watching like that. Watching that entire third period, you can't generate anything offensively when you're down by one with everything that's gone on. You have one win in the last 10 games. Rob Blake said it earlier. Waiting for leadership to step up. We didn't see it tonight. Did not see it tonight. Not even close. Leadership on the ice. Leadership behind the bench. Man. Awful. Awful hockey. Man, I mean, you lose Saturday to Jonathan Quick. Rob Blake might have to have another presser here soon. I mean, I've never really been one to kind of criticize some of the decisions Todd McClellan has made so far this season. I know I talk about trying to figure out a way to get England or get Spence and Clark in the game at the same time. Some of the line mates that PLD's been having, and I thought PL had a great game tonight. Like that line was just great, and I understood the decision to get him on the line with Kopitar because we just talked to him right now after the game, and he talked about how. When you're going to run out a line, you're probably going to run out the line of Kopitar, Byfield, and Kempe as much as you are. Why not try to get PL on the line with them with how good he was playing? I mean, Laferriere was playing just as well as Dubois was, too. So, McClellan, he even said right now, too, that he probably didn't give some other players who were playing good as much ice time as he should have. And I'm guessing that Laferriere is one of those players because he was – all over the puck tonight. But I'm fucking over the excuses. I'm over them. You can't keep telling me that the goaltending on the other side of the ice is what's keeping you out of these wins. You can't keep telling me that. You've played against better goaltending. You've played against good goaltending throughout the year when you've won these games. You score no goals 5-on-5 after one win in the last 10 games. Well, it's one win in the last 11 now. can't use the excuse of you're trying to tighten up defensively. Defense hasn't been the problem. That's what I don't get. Like, why are we talking about defense? Defense is not the issue. Yeah, sure, you gave up 5 goals to Dallas Stars. It was back-to-back, like, on the end of a 6-game road trip. But throughout that entire road trip, it was, like, 2-goal, 3-2, like, losses in overtime. Multiple. Defense is not the issue. Like, watching, like, toward the end of the game, like, when I think Rittich got pulled with, like, 2:50 left, like, 3 minutes left. You had a stop. There was a stoppage with, like, 1:58 left on the clock, right after a shot on goal, right after Saros made a save. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is a perfect time to call a timeout and set up a play. And nothing. Nothing. I asked McClellan right now, like, why did you wait till 6 seconds left on the clock when you had a stoppage with under 2 minutes left on the clock to utilize your timeout? And he pointed to it being an icing. That's actually not true. There was another stoppage right before that with 1:58 left. You can go ahead and look at the play-by-play on NHL, whatever. There was a stoppage at 1:58, I believe, and you chose not to use your timeout. Set up a play. Rest your big boys. Because we know Andrei Kopitar needs it. He played an awful game tonight. And I'm never one to criticize Kopi. He deserves the praise. But you need to start reeling him back a bit. You need to really reel him back a bit. It's getting that time. And I'm not even going to be the one to, like, I'm not going to speculate on injuries. I know that the injury word is huge with Kopitar. He's playing hurt. There's something going on. He might just be tired. Running him out there too long. What, he had 23 minutes tonight? What was the big talk after Rob Blake made the trade for P.L. Dubois? You have a spine down the middle. You have Kopitar, you have Deneau, you have P.L. Dubois. You are not giving P.L. Dubois the players to succeed with. I'm sorry, you give him Jared Anderson Dolan on the wing, and I thought Anderson Dolan had a great game tonight. What has Arthur Kaliev have done to deserve that demotion? He can score. Sure, his defensive liabilities are maybe there, but this isn't a defensive problem. You are not scoring. You are not scoring 5-on-5. It's gross. It's awful. I'm heated. Oh, man. I don't blame all the fans that were booing after the game was over. I would have been right there with you if I was sitting in the crowd. I would have been right there. That was an awful showing by this team tonight that is desperate for a win. Desperate. You just had Edmonton pass you in the wild. You are a number 2 seed in the wild card. You are barely holding on for a playoff spot. And this is the game you put out against a Nashville team. I'm pissed. Man. Got steam coming out of my ears. It's, oh. I cannot. You cannot. Oh. Have to figure out a way to get Spence and Clark in the lineup at the same time. You're desperate for offense right now. You have to figure out to get your best players, your best scorers in the lineup at the same time. Play your best players. Don't give me the shit about Andreas Englund being this guy who can hit and whatever. I don't care. They're not looking for physicality right now. You're winning games with physicality. You're not winning games with physicality. Look what he just did. I'm not even going to shit. I hate shitting on individual players, but like, there's not even an excuse for what he's done. So he's played so well this entire season, but England is not the answer right now. He steps up to make a hit, and that's the big play. That's what we're going to show on the video board, the hit of the game, a hit that leads to a 2-on-1 chance for the Predators. That's the play of the game. That's what you're going to highlight. Oh. Focus is not there. This team needs a whip. Like, you need to get this team riled up. And that's what I was so happy about in the first period. Like, that physicality, there was a chippiness. There was an edge. There was a bite to that game. And I'm thinking to myself, like, yes, this is great. I wanted to see these Kings get involved physical. Like, I need to see them, like, oh, just like the after the whistle scrums. Yes, let's see Kempe involved. Let's see Matt Roy involved. Let's get these players fired up to play this game. And you just it disappeared. Power play is just anemic. When are you going to keep? Why do you keep running out the first power play unit when they're all? I get they scored. I totally get it. And it was a little bit was off a broken play just by Drew Doughty with another bomb. But why do you keep running out the first power play unit when they utilized a minute 30 every time? Every time it's 90 seconds on the ice and you give the second power play unit, who's looked better, who's looked way better than the first power play unit, about 30 seconds of time. And what's even the point? What's the point? What's the point of even putting them out there? You get 30 seconds, they barely set up with 10 seconds left, and all of a sudden it's 5-on-5 and you have two centermen on the ice and the only line you have left to throw out there is the fourth line with Trevor Lewis, Carl Grundstrom, and Arthur Kaliev against the top six of the Nashville Predators. Awful. Some of these decisions, man, I'm telling you, like this one pissed me off. Out of all of them, this one pissed me off the most. You come home after this road trip. You're trying to make a statement. Rob Blake just talks to the media all day this morning, answering question after question after question, talking about how P.L. Dubois is just looking to do more down the middle. Then you move the very next game tonight, move to the wing. Execution, the key word. No execution. Nothing. If they pulled Jordan Spence out of the lineup for Brant Clark next game, I'm going to lose my shit. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to lose my shit. You are desperately searching for offense, and you're going to keep switching out your one of your best playmakers on the blue line? That can't happen. Can't. Ugh. I am absolutely heated. I need to take a breath. I'm sweating. Ugh. Let's go to you guys. Someone else needs to jump in here. And before you guys jump in here and start talking about Fire the Coach, I totally understand it. And I get a lot of your criticisms and I get that. But I want to hear something else. I want to see what else you can do. Because we all know that's not going to happen. We know that's not going to happen. Rob Blake said it so this morning. He said so. That change is not happening. He trusts his coach. He trusts his team to get out of it. So I want to hear something else that you guys can tell me. What else or what do you think about the game? Blake, let's start with you. I put you on the spot. So you got the mic, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Russell. Yeah, I saw it's just the same frustrating thing over and over again. I thought David Riddick was fantastic tonight. I think I think he's had two goals saved above expected. Fantastic. He's been every game he's had for the Kings, I think he's been positive and goals saved above expected. It's not our goalie's fault at all. And it's honestly not even our defense's fault. Like, you should not lose. This team is way too talented to score one goal, like, consistently. I mean, I honestly haven't seen this team have an offensive explosion at all. And I like how you mentioned the power play. It's the same thing every time. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. Same guys out there. Same setup, no one cutting, wasting 90 seconds, not even giving the second power play unit a chance to do anything. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, it's the exact same thing. They have to do whatever it takes to generate more offense. If it means sacrificing a little bit defensively, fine, I don't care. Brant Clark, yeah. Jordan Spence have to both play. I don't care if it's on the same line or not. They both need to be out there Saturday against the Rangers. If they lose to Jonathan Quick at home for a second time this season.
Oh, I don't even want to think about it.
I don't want to think about it. I mean, this team right now, it's honestly unbelievable to think how this team was. I honestly thought 3 weeks ago this team could win the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
And we're talking about it right now. There's there is a chance this team doesn't have a playoff spot by next week. I mean, how unbelievable is that? Like,
It's actually quite believable with what we've been watching the last month and a half or so. I mean, right?
Totally.
I'm expecting it because this team has really shown nothing to prove me wrong.
Right.
Nothing to prove me that they're a playoff team. Nothing to prove me that they can score. And I don't, unless they start making some drastic changes on the blue line, like you talked about, having Brent Clark and Jordan Spence. And I'm not even going to say that's the only, like, that's going to fix everything. Like, you might have to do more drastic changes than that. You have to, like, if you're telling me P.L. Dubois and Kevin Fiala were sacrificing too much defensively, but how many points did P.L. Dubois have with Fiala in the first couple games? Why aren't you giving him a chance to succeed?
Yeah, I think
Phil Deneau is not, I love Deneau. He's been great. That line as a whole has probably been the best line. But Phil Deneau is not a top six center on a Stanley Cup winning team. That's not why he should have been, why P.L. Dubois was brought in here. Dubois was brought in here to play with skilled players to provide offensive production. That's exactly what Rob Blake said when he made the trade. One of his first sentences, he said, "We added a player who can add production right away. We have not seen it because you have not given him the chance." And you keep pointing to 5-on-5 scoring. That's great. But when he's only out there about 13, 14 minutes a night, how much 5-on-5 scoring are you going to get? You're not going to get that because he was generating a lot more scoring playing first power play minutes in Winnipeg, playing 18 to 20 minutes a night. So that 5-on-5 scoring is definitely going to take a dip until you give him the skilled wingers to play with. And we haven't seen it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I think Dubois played 11 games with Kevin Fiala on the same line this year. 11. I mean, and I think in 5 of those games, he had multiple points. I think I saw that stat somewhere. Like, crazy that we're talking, it's been 10 losses out of 11, and we haven't tried that once. I thought Dubois played a really good game overall tonight.
I know he took that dumb penalty,
whatever. He was driving towards the net. He was creating good chances offensively. He was great. And I mean, no disrespect to Jared Anderson Dolan, like you said, but we're talking about a center who just paid $8.5 million a year for 8 years. And we are playing him with, no disrespect, the worst player on the team. I mean, he is. Let's just call it as it is. We have guys who are getting healthy scratch who are better than him, who could drive more offensively and create this team. Like Arthur Kaliev being in Todd's doghouse, it doesn't make any sense. Samuel Fahimo, I know this team hasn't said he's practiced with the team yet. I don't understand. What are they waiting for? Fahimo's averaging almost a goal a game in Ontario. The Kings aren't generating anything offensively. Why not give him a chance? Like,
this team it just needs a spark. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to say that adding one player or this is going to, like, change or fix everything. But this team needs, something to energize them a bit, because you're just going to continue riding and say, you can't give me that line like, oh, I'm just going to wait for these players to pull themselves out of it. I'm sorry. You can't. You can't continue to have this happen. And sure, it might happen, but like when you're going to continue the slide, it's more often than not that if you don't fix anything, what's the definition of insanity? I think you said it. Like, it's thinking that things you're not going to change, whatever. I can't even fucking think right now. I'm so pissed. But it's just like you have to provide some sort of spark to this team, whether it be adding Sammy Fagamo, adding Brent Clark and Jordan Spence, bring up fucking Akil Thomas for all I care. Like, do something to energize this team. And like you said, no disrespect to Jared Anderson Dolan, this is a player you put on waivers at the start of the season, and now you're playing him with your premier acquisition that you got over the summer. And how are you gonna ignite a fan base and try to get them behind a player like P.L. Dubois, who's got all this baggage coming over to him? How you're trying to make excuses about, oh, he's a great player, he's playing in a place where he wants to be, and the player you have him playing with most is a rookie and a fringe AHL NHL player.
Yeah, it's
tell
insane.
Tell me that.
No, it's insane. I think after watching today's game, I think one change I would like to see is the Kopitar Kempe Byfield line split up.
Yeah,
it is something. Something, it is not working. I know Byfield's natural position growing up as a center. Maybe there's somewhere where you can put Dubois, Kempe, and someone else on the same line. Maybe try Byfield at centering the, I don't know. They need to try change something. If we see the same lineup on Saturday, what the hell do they think is going to happen? I mean, are they really going to think something is just going to just magically change against a really talented Rangers team? I mean, the team, like the schedule is not getting much easier. They're playing really good teams. I don't know.
I don't care. Like, I don't even care. Like, you're playing really good teams. These are teams. Like, I appreciate hopping on here, Blake. I'm gonna.
Yeah, of course, 100%. Thank you, Russ.
Always appreciate hopping on here, buddy. like the excuse of you're playing good teams. I honestly don't give a fuck anymore. You're playing good teams. You should be beating these good teams. You are a good team, I thought. You can't beat good teams. That's your excuse now. I use that excuse every, like, during the road trip. I wasn't that upset during the sixth game when it was about six games there, winless streak, whatever you want to call it. I wasn't that upset. Yeah, you can tell me you're on a long road trip. You're playing against Tampa Bay, Florida, Carolina, like, whatever. You got this extended road trip, but it's getting to a point where, like, if you can't figure out a way to beat Nashville at home after this road trip, and people talk about, like, oh, you come off a long road trip, it's almost like another road game. Like, I don't care about that. You're supposed to show some desperation to a fan base who's been calling for you to fire your coach. You need to show some desperation, whether it's the players who may want to play behind the coach, or it's the coach that chooses to change some things up. And that hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened. Let's go to Joey. Joey, what's up, man?
Oh, rough.
Joey.
What the fuck, man? I know you were there. Was it as hard to watch live as it was on TV? Because that might have been one of the hardest hockey games I've ever seen.
It was like nails in a chalkboard, man. I'm telling you. Like, you just watch dumping after dumping and nothing come up after that.
They were suffocated. They couldn't do anything. I mean, it's frustrating. Like, I think they said on the ESPN broadcast, well, Ferraro was just all over the Kings tonight. So
really?
That made it even... It was made it emphasis on it, but I think they said the Kings outchanced them like the Nashville Predators like 2-1 or something like that. But dude, the amount of 2-on-1s or 3-on-2s were not getting any shots. It's sickening. Like I don't understand the plays like Deneau in the slot, and then he tries to go like behind the back. Between three guys to a back door. Like, what do we do? Like, just shoot the puck.
Mm-hmm.
Just shoot the puck. Like, this game needs to be simplified, which I don't understand because I know that's, like, Todd's thing. He said it, like, globetrotter hockey, you know. Like, I don't know why they're just not shooting the puck. And I know – oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I know Kopi's the golden child, and I love Kopi to death for everything he's done. But, like, dude, this 10-game stretch, he's been abysmal. This was like his best face-off percentage in the last 10 games. But, I mean, he's been terrible on the dot. I don't know what it is. It's like they kick it to him on the power play on the side to, like, get it in, and he fumble fucks it. It's I think, like you said, he's tired. That's what – we brought Dubois in here to have this, right, so we can take the load off his back. But you're not
– played.
But you're not
second
doing
most
it.
Most amount of minutes tonight, 23 minutes and 26 seconds.
Yeah.
And was a minus one and had one shot on goal.
The guys who played the most are fucking signing up for AARP tomorrow. Like, what are we doing?
LeFerrier had two shots on goal in 11 minutes and 48 seconds.
LeFerrier has looked fantastic these last 10 games.
I'm telling you. I've been telling you guys, LeFerrier, this is like
that's dude, I love Laffy Taffy. Like my love ranks from Quentin Byfield to Laffy Taffy. Those two.
It's tough to forget, like, or it's easy to forget he's a rookie. Like, this is his first year and he plays like a vet. That's what's so cool to watch is you're seeing him make all these moves and be a lot more comfortable and confident with the puck on a stick. And a lot of those moves that I saw him make throughout the rookie faceoff and those preseason games playing with mostly Rain players, he's starting to make those games in the NHL now too. And for him to make that and be that comfortable and confident as a rookie so far, we're seeing a player that's on the rise. And shit, like, give him fucking top 6 minutes at this point if you're gonna see a player who's gonna play that good. And I think that's why I said I think that's the player that McClellan's talking about, that maybe he didn't give him as much ice time as he probably should have.
Yeah, and like we talked about it, like we talked about it last Twitter Spaces. I think it's like. It seems like the game has slowed down a little bit for him, which is great because he looks quicker. He looks like his decision making is faster. What do you? I know there's no way in hell they would do this, but like put Kopi down with Moore and Fiala. Put Dubois up on that first line, even though they roll out that Deneau line first usually, and then have Deneau center the third. Like, why not? What the fuck else do you have to lose?
Deneau
would play great with that third line. Deneau can play anywhere.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's exactly why I thought PL Dubois was brought into here to do. Like, now you have Phil Deneau, who's been talked about as one of the best not just on their team, but one of the best two-way centers in the NHL. And, like, let's be honest, like, offensive production was never something that people talked about with Phil Deneau. That wasn't his MO, right? Like, it was always...
Yeah, he came in to be a defensive specialist. He
came in to be that tight checking forward that we needed, that, like, Jared Stahl type player that can play behind Kopitar and the Mike Richards for the Kings teams in the past. And now you kind of just... You have him playing with Kevin Fiala, who's your best playmaker on the team, and Trevor Moore, who's your leading goal scorer. And yeah, a lot of that probably has to do with Phil Deneau being there. But when you're desperate for offense, you have to figure out a way to create more balance. Because at this point, you have Pierre Dubois just kind of making plays with LaFerriere, and they have really no one else to turn to. And if the top line's not going, your second line's the only line that's going. And McClellan even mentioned it. The fourth line is Trevor Lewis and Carl Grundstrom. Like, and Kaliev, who shouldn't be playing fourth line minutes. You're desperate for offense, and that's the line you want to run out there? You have to give me a player like Foggiemo, Thomas, Turcotte. Call up some young player that's got some legs that can provide some energy to this team, because this team desperately needs it.
Yeah, and I know Todd's MO has always been, we got to roll four lines. It's like, dude, at some point, you got to mix it up and – You got to not roll four lines.
Yeah.
Like, you got to put the people out there. Like, Dubois had a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. That was probably one of the best games I've seen Dubois in a Kings uniform. You know, it sucks he didn't get a goal, but he definitely deserved one. Like, throwing the body around. It's like, dude, yeah, that's what you need to do. Like, you're 6'5", or whatever, how tall you are.
Yeah.
Like, throw your weight around and win some battles. Mm-hmm. You know, he looked great. Like you guys have mentioned, if there's no lineup changes, I'm dreading Saturday night.
I'm call right now. Quick's going to shut us out on Saturday. It's, I mean, by the way, this offense looks right now. If that happens, holy shit, man. Holy shit.
It's so stale. And if I see one more cross-ice pass on the power play through eight guys, I'm going to lose my mind. I don't understand.
Like, some of your power play, like, what? Like, the last couple of power play goals have been just clappers by Drew Doughty in the blue line. Just because he gets the puck and he's like, okay, I have nothing else to do with it. Let me just shoot it, and it happens to go in. Like, why not we do that? Why don't we try that more? Let's try shooting at the pad and try to create some rebounds, do a little garbage stuff in front. Put P.L. Exactly. Dubois, have him screen the goaltender. If you're worried about the goaltender seeing everything or making all these saves, why don't you make the goaltender a little uncomfortable then? Why don't you start creating a little traffic in front of the net? And that way you're going to muck it up a bit.
And that's how most of these power play goals are scored in the NHL. Like, dude, these guys are good. Mm-hmm. The goalies are great. Like, you got to get traffic in front and get dirty. Like, it's so frustrating to watch. And I was throwing things at my TV today. Like, just... Absolutely. I'm so glad I was going to go tonight, and I'm just very,
yeah, I know. It's like
very glad that I decided to,
it's
stay home and scream.
It's so funny because I don't know if you guys know, but I sit next to Andrew Knoll in the press box, and like usually Andrew, like he's been off cause he had a child, and like, so congrats to Andrew on that. Like, but like, he's usually the one, he's very welcome to a lot of my criticisms I talk about throughout the game. Like, I'm a fan up there, right? So I'm really trying to hold in a lot of my like anger and issues that I have, but he's really welcome to listen to it. So I haven't had that, so I like, that's why I've had all this pent-up emotion throughout watching this game, because I'm with you. I was ready to throw things. Like, I was ready to break my laptop up there, like, watching this offense perform. That's how bad it was. So like, it's something's got to happen. But Joey, I appreciate you hopping on here. I'm going to jump to the next speaker.
Yeah, no, let somebody else on. Appreciate you as always.
Take it easy,
we'll chat soon.
Yes, sir. Let's go to Big Mouth Barry. You were quite calm last time, so I'm curious to see how you are this time, Mr. Barry. How you doing, Big Mouth Barry?
Sylvester Stallone imitation.
Okay.
And say, women weakened legs. that's got to be the only excuse for what happened out there, is that they came home, they got some loving, and then they were like, oh, yeah, I've got no legs. I mean, you know, all this talk about...
That's a new one. I like it, though.
You know, all this talk about, you know, I won't say it, firing the coach, but... Mm-hmm. Jim Hiller's got to take some blame here too. I mean, you know, you probably didn't see it on the ESPN feed, but We're 30th at home on the power play at 12%. You know, we scored one today. Thank you, Drew Doughty. But it's you know, there's got to be a little blame there on Mr. Hiller and his play calling. You know, we're not losing these games by, you know, we only got blown out once, really. I mean, maybe the Detroit game, but yeah. You know, and I still don't understand
Dallas too, maybe.
Dallas notwithstanding, but it's you know, and I know everybody's calling for Spence, but you know, it's now 52 games he hasn't scored a goal. Yes, he's got some assists, but we need goals, guys. We don't need assists. We need goals. So I don't quite know what the heck the answer is there, especially on the back end. But I'm not putting this solely on Todd. I'm putting this on Jim Hiller and his lousy play calling. I mean, you know, you got to fire the offensive coordinator. You know,
well, Hiller only, I think. I mean, I believe he only really has control over the power play. I mean, he could be having probably more control over it than that, but he's definitely the person in charge of the power play. So, I mean, that's like for the power play to be as anemic as it's been the last few games, like, and you're just going to keep running that first unit out there every time, like, just change it up. Give me the second unit to start. Why not? Give it one time. Because even today, I think there was a penalty that, what, Kempe drew a penalty or something like that. You had that first line out there, and then Kopitar is right back out there for the power play. And it's just listless, just lacking energy. Like, give me the second unit to start.
You know, the other thing that I would say, and you know, I think Dave said it best. Why are they not flipping PLD and Kopi? I mean, PLD should be up there in that top lane and put Kopi on the third line with JAD and you know, whoever else they want to trot out there. You know, I'd like to see what Laferriere does with Kopi, you know, on that third line and give Kopi less minutes. You know, he seems to be tired. So, you know, why not give PLD, who seems to be, you know, coming up? And anyway, that would be my suggestion. Very frustrating. Yes, of course. Yes. You know, and I'm sure, you know, Blake said what he's supposed to say, you know, what is it, what is he going to say? Oh, yes.
What do you expect? Right.
Right. Right. It's like, oh, if we lose these next two games, yes, I'm going to have to think about firing the coach. No. It's like, if we lose these next four, you know, against San Jose, then you got it.
If this team slips out of a playoff spot, yeah, and it's like getting to that point, then okay, conversations are going to start to happen. And I try to, I'm always going to be reluctant to it because I have to be honest with you guys, I'm face to face with Todd McClellan, so I'm not going to be calling for anybody's job to change or anything like that. But if it gets to that point, then I'm going to start being pretty vocal about it. So, I'm not going to do it, but I mean, it's getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you'll get the wrath of Mike Altieri like I did.
I don't know about that. So I'm just going to hands off there. So,
yeah. And by the way, thank you for doing this. I'll let somebody else speak, but you've got so many wonderful King fans out there listening.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, that's what
it's just great.
That's the thing.
It's just so great that you do this, you know, and again, you know, we're all frustrated, but, you know, so thanks for the, thanks for letting me, have my, my 5 minutes of time. So, and I'll leave to somebody else. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate you, bud. Have a good one. Let's go to someone DM'd me to hop on here. They had some things. Oh, it was Ian. I saw your DM, Ian. You don't have to yell at me, all right? I saw your DM. I'm just messing with you. Ian, you got the mic. No, you wanted it.
We are so fucking ass. Holy fuck. We're dog shit, bro. All
right, give me something. Give me give me constructive criticism here. You like, I don't want you to jump on here and just say we're ass, but I appreciate it. But what you got for me?
So first I want to start off by saying, like, when I joined and you were going off in the beginning, I had my headphones on, and bro, I feel like you're yelling at me. I'm like, damn, Wes, what the fuck did I do, bro?
Oh, I told you guys, I had all this pent-up anger after that game. Like, I'm usually pretty quiet when in the press room, but today, like, I needed to know why there was no timeout called with 2 minutes left. Why are you not setting up a play at that point?
That
pissed me off more than anything.
Like,
but,
I didn't even see that part because, like, I turned that shit off. I didn't want to watch.
So you knew what was going to happen, right? You knew it was
going to happen. Yeah, we were not going to score for shit. and they're going to pull the goalie, and they'll just either score the empty netter or we'll just hold on. We weren't going to do anything. It was, and I got one of my my mom's friends. He's not able to go to the game on Saturday, so he gave us like free tickets. So okay. I'm going to that game,
I'm sure, reluctantly. I'm sure.
Yes, but I'm only going to see the Jonathan Quick tribute. That's the only reason I'm going.
We need to talk about that. So anybody coming to the game, like, there should be like this guy deserves everything in terms of whatever tribute they have set up for him, because I understand he's probably got a little bit of I don't know. He's kind of upset with the fan base, like, or not the fan base, the franchise, you could say. But the, like, he deserves all the accolades and praise and whatever that's going to happen. So that I'm looking forward to. But I'm definitely not looking forward to him performing well against the Kings, which at this point I pretty much expect to happen.
Yeah, like, I find myself, like, rooting against this team in hopes to fire Todd. Like I'm not the – I'm almost to the point. I'm trying not to, but they're making it extremely difficult. Extremely. Like, it's just insane. Yeah. And Kopi, I love him to death, but get him off the first line, please. Just demote him or do something. Like, he is not doing anything.
Where do you want to play Kopitar? What lines do you want to see?
I would like to see him maybe second line. If not third line, just somewhere like in the middle. Just we need someone else to do that top line. Maybe like Pierre-Luc Dubois, someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just he just I love him. Just but not doing anything.
Ian, I think you're cutting out, or is that me? Can you guys hear Ian, or am I cutting out? Can you guys hear me? Thumbs up if you can hear me. Ian,
hello?
Ian, you there? I think you cut out for a second. Can you guys hear me? Thumbs up. Hayden said thumbs up. I think I'm seeing thumbs up there. All right, perfect. Ian, I'm going to jump to the next person because I think you're cutting out for a second, but I appreciate you hopping on here, man. Namor, at Roman_Holt. I don't know if I've had you on here before. Roman, but I saw your DM, so I want to get you on here. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Russ? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
Oh, I've been better, man. This sucks.
I feel your pain.
I guess I had a question for you because I figured you have more of an inside scoop than I do, but I saw Helene Elliott and Todd's comment today from the press conference that some, you know, classic cryptic Kopi's not 100%, but no one is. But do you think Kopi's injured with something? Like what's going on there? Because I was at the game tonight and he did not look like himself.
Man, I don't know. Because, like, part of me, like, wants to say yes. I mean, we'd be totally speculating because we're even guessing because, I mean, the team hasn't given us any indication. And as much as it was, like, it seemed like a cryptic kind of response. Like, they posted the video. You guys have to kind of see Rob Blake's interaction with Helene there, because the way he kind of answered the question would make it indicate that maybe he is injured. But then again, like I said, like, I'd be guessing at that point. But if you're the organization and you know he's injured, yet you still run him out there for 23 minutes, that's
okay. It's crazy.
Then why are we doing that, right?
Yeah. And not to mention that in that Dallas game right in front of the net, he got, you know, body slammed to the deck a couple times, which obviously didn't help.
Yeah. So it's funny, like, they, McClellan actually was just asked about it and talked about the minutes and Kopitar's minutes. And he even talks about, like, for tomorrow, he said he's going to have a meeting with Kopitar in the morning to see about maybe just keeping him off the ice for practice. So just to kind of ease back his workload. And, like, for my assumption, like, okay, well, are we going to be seeing some, like, line changes? Because how are you going to, like, be able to change anything up if you don't have one of your center is practicing, which I totally get. You want to try to limit a little bit of Kopitar's workload. But at this point, when you're kind of searching for offense and searching for answers at 5-on-5, I don't know. You have to be able to figure out. This is one of your few practices. You haven't had a practice like this at home in a while, right? So
yeah,
if you have the chance to see some new things during practice time, I would feel like you'd try to get everybody out there. But
yeah,
I think it's just it is what it is.
It's confusing, but I guess I'll try to be the speaker today that comes in with a point of optimism. The best thing I saw today is that Arvidsson is skating again. And I think what we need so desperately is a shooter, someone with speed, and a righty. A fucking righty. A right-handed shooter. We need that so desperately on one of our top lines. Someone that isn't Loth. Because he's been doing great for a rookie, but let's be honest, he's 5 goals so far. If he has 15 goals, that's an amazing, amazing year for him. And if he does that, then I tip my cap to him, and that's absolutely awesome. But I don't think he's going to get there. Maybe it's 12, maybe it's 13. I don't know. But I hope that RV coming back is the spark that we need. I'm going to heed your advice in terms of not getting on the fire Todd train, but yeah, it's pissing me off what you're seeing in the lineup right now. It's really frustrating. And like you said, if on Saturday against the Rangers, the only lineup change is Clark back in for Spence, it's just like, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And when with Laffy, it's like, this isn't a player that was expected to come in and be like a 20-plus goal scorer for the Kings. He was just supposed to come in and kind of take a spot until Arvidsson comes back, and unfortunately Arvidsson's been out for so long, but Laferriere's been playing, like you said, he's been looking really good as a rookie.
Yeah, he's had like some Fiala-esque moves. He's been the guy that's dropping other opponents' pants like no one else on the team is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, like trying to make plays, trying to create something. I mean, even he like dented the post tonight.
I just think, you know, I think Arvi is the perfect slot in. That's who PLD needs. Who PLD needs on a line with him. He needs a veteran player who knows how to score, who has playoff experience, who's fast, who's a good shooter, who knows how to attack the net. I think that's how you see PLD's production explode. And that's... I'm just trying to be optimistic because it's hard to be right now, Russ. It's hard.
It's very, very hard right now. You have one win in 11 games. And like I said, like you had mentioned too, you're not making a lot of lineup changes. And there have been some. But even before, like when this streak like originally started, I think it was going back to the game against Toronto at home. When that was when they made all the big drastic changes, when they separated Kempe and Kopitar and had Trevor Moore with Kopitar and all that nonsense going on. And you ran it out there for one game, and you went right back to what you've been running throughout the entire year. Like give me – and I'm glad you mentioned, like, Arvidsson needs – or Arvidsson would be perfect with PL and Laferriere, because actually I messaged somebody that – like, I believe I messaged my colleague Joe Paterino from Hockey Royalty. I messaged him that same thing. Like, dude, like, a 78, 80, and 33 line would go so fucking hard.
It would be awesome. It would be
insane.
Awesome.
Especially with like the energy that we bring to PL, who needs a little bit of a more energy winger on his side. So you have Laffy and Arvidsson on those wings. I mean, we'll see if it gets to that point where even playing with those.
Yeah, or even you go back to the nice line and then put more with PLD, something like that. I don't know.
Oh, the nice line would be perfect, because if you could have that nice line be what it was again, then you have Fiala playing with PL, who was actually providing offense when they were together. That sounds like a pretty good lineup to me.
Exactly.
I'm cool with that. It's probably better. It's definitely better with what they're running now.
Yeah. This is my last question. I'll let you go on to someone else. But what do you think about on the – because I guess the rationale with the defensive swaps with Clark and Spence is Englund's a lefty, Anderson's a lefty, and Gavrikov's a lefty too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's the –
I mean, what is this is from someone who never played hockey growing up, and I just love my LA Kings. Is it that crazy to have four righties in the lineup? Like, could we not do Roy and Clark and Gavrikov and Spence and keep Mikey and Doughty together? Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to think what impact does that really have on the game, having two righties on the ice at the same time?
It's difficult. It's very difficult, especially if we're talking about trying to do it for a young player. But I mean, we saw it happen last year when we saw Sean Durzi get moved to left side. I mean, he was only a second year player. And at first I was kind of reluctant to see that because I thought you had enough talent as far as like, they just were so committed to playing Alex Edler every night. And I thought you had enough talent in Jake Movarara to play him. So you had three lefties. So that's why it was a little concerning, because I thought Sean Durzi's defensive efficiencies really, really came to light when he was playing on the left side. But also, like, if you looked at the expected goal share, and this is going to be for anybody who hates analytics, you're going to hate this, but that line of Durzi and Roy was the best on the Kings because they provided a lot of offense, because you have a player who's playing. Like, that's the thing. It's going to be really hard for a player who's playing on his off wing on the defense, on the blue line, because with puck retrievals and trying to get the puck out of your zone, you're on your backhand or you have to turn and make a pass really quick. So that's difficult. But when you're in the offensive zone and you have the puck on your off wing, you already have the puck in the middle of the ice on your stick. You are ready for a shot and you're in a better opportunity to make it happen. And when I see a player like Brant Clark, who probably reads the play better than anybody on this team, I feel like you have to give him a chance to make that, to do that. And if you play him with a player like Matt Roy, a player who's definitely responsible, who's played with another right shot player on his other side already, I think you have to try that out to figure out a way to get Spence and Clark in the same lineup. Because in 50 plus minutes, I looked up the metrics. 50 plus minutes of time with Gavrikov and Spence together, their metrics are outstanding. So give me that. Give me Clark and Roy. Let's run it. Let's see what happens. Just for a game, because right now the offense is nothing. So you have to try something.
And that's another guy like Kopi who I'm still wondering if is not fully 100% is Gavrikov. He doesn't look quite as dominant defensively as he did October through mid-December, let's say.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, the thing with Gavrikov, I think he's been pretty still really strong defensively, especially like standing up in the neutral zone. But, like, we don't see him involved offensively as much as we used to, right? Like, it always seemed like he was really down around the net trying to make things happen offensively. Maybe that's something that they need to talk with Gavrikov, maybe be a little bit more aggressive. Because I'm seeing it with Matt Roy. I'm seeing it with Mikey Anderson. But
Roy's doing a great job of it, in my opinion.
But, like, it's like the thing is, too, though, like, those aren't your offense. Like, those players don't really scream offensive production either. So, if, like, those are the players, defensive players that you're trying to really have provide offense from the blue line and jump into the play as much, I think you need to try to figure out something else there.
Yeah. All right, Ross. Well, listen, I'll let you move on to someone else. This fucking sucks, but I still have faith in this team.
Right.
I still have faith in this team. Right. I think we can do it. I think we'll bounce back. I think the All-Star break will be huge for us. Hopefully Arvidsson's in the lineup on the flip side of that, and I think we'll be back.
I love the positivity, man. I think we all need to hear that. So, but I appreciate you hopping on here, buddy.
All right, thanks, Ross.
Maybe we needed some positivity there. I appreciate him for saying all that, because, I mean, I think just for all of our mental state, right? Let's go to Matthew. I don't know if I've seen you request to speak before. Matthew, how you doing?
Hey, Russ. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, appreciate you hopping on here, buddy.
I have a hot take that may get a lot of flack in, may get a lot of hate on.
I love it. I love hot takes. Bring it. Lay it on me.
First power play, I would say for a winger, you should move Trevor Lewis to it. And here's my reason.
I love it. All right, let's hear it.
L.A., if there's one thing I've learned about L.A. in the past 10 years since we won the Cup, we've never been a team to make these pretty plays. And for L.A. to set up Kempe like he's Ovechkin with a slapper, it's not going to work. And it's very predictable. I think L.A. is like better when they're nitty-gritty, getting the greasy goals, the rebounds. And I think that's what LA needs to do again, go back to shooting low and getting the rebounds.
No, I mean, I actually agree with you. I might not agree with you on Trevor Lewis, but I'll come back at you with this. Go back and watch the Drew Doughty goal. Who is skating right in front of Saros when that goal goes in? Do you know who it is?
I don't remember.
I'll give you the answer. Carl Grundstrom. Carl Grundstrom was on the ice for Drew Doughty's goal, skating right in front of UC Saros, providing that screen that we were just talking about. And the only reason he was on the ice because Quentin Byfield went off to go get stitched up or whatever happened with him. And like you're spot on right there, right? I mean, like that's exactly what we need. I don't know if it's Trevor Lewis is the answer, but yeah, when you're looking for something to change, maybe on the power play or offensively, you need to start creating chances more of like the garbage type, right? Like screening the goal,
yeah,
shooting at pads, doing all that stuff. And Carl Grundstrom is that kind of player, and that's exactly what he did. He skated right to the front of the net, got in front of Saros, and Saros kind of I have to go back and double check, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened on the replay. Saros couldn't see the puck for a split second, and it went right back. I thought it went off of Carl Grundstrom, actually, to be honest with you.
Because if you think about, like, other defensemen as well, like, in our past, like, Alec Martinez, Willie Mitchell, and even Jake Muzzin, they would just flip the puck into the towards the goalie and just hope for a lucky bounce or just see what happens versus trying to set up these pretty plays. And it's becoming very predictable. And that's why I'd rather see the opponents taking more block shots on LA than for them to set up a one-timer just to get a poke checked and then clear it off into the neutral zone.
Yeah, there needs to be another strategy there besides the Adrian Kempe one-timer on the power play at least. Because, yeah, like, I mean, teams have caught on to that. That's something that they're definitely defending. And I don't know why they keep kind of trying to force feed that. And Kempe just keeps creeping lower and lower toward the goal line and making that angle harder and more difficult. And it's just really not happening. I think he has 2 power play goals in the season. I could be wrong there. But, yeah, that's something they just keep trying to make happen. And it's just not going to happen. It's not going
to
happen.
This is where we need the Dustin Brown just to get the tip-ins or, like, the bounces or just anything that, like, gets our luck. Because right now we're not getting any of that.
I'm going to say the bad word. But, like, that's, like, when you – had a player, I hate myself for saying this, but when you had a player like Gabe Vilardi who was just going to sit in front and just put his stick on the ice, that's kind of what you need right now, right? You just need a player. And it's not even that necessarily like it's just because it's Gabe Vilardi, but it's just you just need a player just to go down and do it, provide that off that front line, that net presence. You have 6'5" Quentin Byfield. You have 6'4" Pierre Dubois. Like, why isn't that your main focus? Just get pucks through, create havoc in front of the net, and give me a garbage goal or two. Because if you're at Adrian Kempe's one-timer's not there, you have to figure out another way to make a play happen. Because you can't have Andre Kopitar try to create plays on the half wall. Because as soon as he gets the puck, he has to turn and try to create a play and see the ice because he's a lefty. And it's more difficult for him on that side to do it. So figure something else
out. For them to force the puck down low, it's not working because they're just clearing it right there and then. It's better just to take it to the top of the slot and just shoot low and hope for the best. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think McClellan actually mentioned that, talking about trying to do too much. And it's so funny because, like especially, like, 5-on-5 when – I forgot who mentioned it, but you had, like, a 2-on-1 chance. You had, like, 4-on-2 chance, and you're just – you're doing backhand passes, like no look passes, like give me a shot on goal. Like, what? There was one, I don't know who shot it, but there was one shot that may have been Gavrikov, kind of just threw it, like flubbed it towards Saros, and it turned into a rebound chance, like right in front of him. And I'm thinking to myself, like, holy hell, if that turned into a goal after everything that happened throughout this entire game, that's how you score. Why the hell haven't you been trying to do something like that the entire game? Like, exactly. Yeah. So,
LA needs to go back to their identity of being the nitty gritty and just getting those lucky goals versus trying to be like this New York Rangers or even Edmonton. You know, they're not that kind of a team. They're not making these pretty plays. There's no player like Connor McDavid on LA, in my opinion.
No, yeah, there's no player in the entire NHL like Connor McDavid. But yeah, especially for a team like LA who doesn't really have that superstar quote unquote talent on its team, that's going to just take over the entire ice. Like Kevin Fiala, we see him do that at times, but I like
he's been the closest we've had to making pretty plays, but yeah. You know, when you think of the run that we had from 2012 and 2014, we had nobody like that. Maybe Toffoli at best, but he had the winger and he had Jeff Carter. You know, mm-hmm. He had Tanner Pearson. But even still, they would always go for the low rebounds and just get it to the net.
Yeah, yeah. They need to change something up because what they're trying now isn't working. And maybe that confidence with what happened through the beginning part of the season they were scoring pretty goal after pretty goal, right? Like there was a lot of nice passing plays that were turning into goals for the Kings. And maybe that kind of got into their head a little bit. Maybe we need to keep doing that. But at this point you're desperate for 5-on-5 scoring. You have to just start throwing pucks on net because what you're trying with all these pretty backhand and no look passes just isn't really working. So just simplify it. Simplify it. That's probably going to be the word that McClellan's going to use the most at practice tomorrow. It's just we need to start simplifying things and play more direct because, like, what they're doing so far is not working the last few.
Yeah. All right. That was my hot take, but I'll let you go.
I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for having me. Yeah, thanks for hopping on here. Have a good one.
You too.
Oh, I'm kind of spent, guys. To be honest with you, I'm tired. 11 o'clock, I need to go home. I think we all need a break tomorrow. I'm going to sign off. Back at it on Saturday, right? That should be fun. Let's see what happens. Maybe we get some lineup adjustments or something. Hopefully on tomorrow. I'm not going to hold my breath, but team needs something. Team needs a wake-up call. 13 5-on-5 goals in the last 11 games. What is that, 1.1 a game? I'm not going to cut it. Something needs to change. So we'll see what happens. But I'm going to sign off, guys. Head out of here. I appreciate everybody that hopped on here, like always, all the speakers. It's a passionate fan base. We're all hopping on here. I'm hopping on here because we care so much about this team that just loves to disappoint us. So much, and we're looking forward to that turnaround. I know that turnaround's coming. I could sense it, but we need to fix a couple things. Some things need to be changed here and there. This team is too talented to just go out like this. Like they'll pick it up. It's going to happen. We're going through it right now. We'll see the light. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Hopefully on Saturday, that'll be the light. Let's all pray. I'm gonna hop off here. Everybody, appreciate you guys hopping on here again. Have a good night.